MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Wandile Shalobe. He's Chief Economist, Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. Wandile, appreciate the time today. The Agricultural and Agro-Processing Master Plan. Give us a sort of high-level view of what this plan is and what it would hope to achieve.
The Agriculture and Agro-Processing Master Plan, Simon, is a product of a co-creation of various stakeholders, government, private sector, organized agriculture and labor, all coming together and saying, we have an agricultural sector. What are some of the challenges that it faces? Where are the areas for growth? Which commodities and corridors, regions we should be prioritizing? And coming up with this plan, which suggests that if implemented correctly, we could unlock about 30% improvement in the gross value added of South Africa's agriculture. And we could see also jobs increasing and the economic activity in the rural regions of South Africa. So in essence, this is a plan that is to drive inclusive growth, enhance the competitiveness of the South African agriculture and agro-processing sectors.
Yeah, and jobs, particularly in rural areas, hugely important. So from that, two questions then come to mind to me. One is, how old is the plan and how has it been progressing?
The plan, Simon, was launched around about May 2022. There's been some elements of implementation here and there, but not in an aggressive and coherent manner that one would have liked for a number of reasons. One, just after it was launched in the following year, South Africa was hit by immense load shedding, which put a strain in the agricultural sector, given that 100% of our fruit and vegetables are under irrigation. And of course, the poultry sector, dairy industry, all are dependent on electricity. So the energy was moved towards the power issues. As we were escaping the issues of power with all of the renewables, that many people devoted a lot of resources into installing and other alternative energy sources, we were then hit by animal diseases, foot and mouth disease, avian influenza. All of these things, I would say, they slowed the implementation of the master plan. But I think that this time around, especially when one think of the new administration that will come into our sector, the core focus should be around the relentless implementation of the master plan, along some of the supportive legislation around land reform and the blended finance, which will ensure that everything that is outlined per commodity and regions perhaps could see a better rate of success.
I take your point. And I mean, the avian flu, we also had some foot mouth load shedding. These are curveballs in a sense. You mentioned the new administration. As we chat, we've done our job. We have voted. Now the political parties are negotiating coalitions. I got to say, my sense from the world out there is that an agricultural minister is, most people don't think about who that would be. But this is critically important to industry because this really, notwithstanding, I mean, industry is involved and communities are involved in the plan. But really, a minister is going to drive this aggressively at best.
Absolutely, Simon. And I do think that you are right on putting agriculture in this context of elections, because this is a sector that always hangs out into the political discussion, particularly certain legislation. I would pinpoint here one of agriculture, as well as the issue of when we have someone to champion this master plan. My thinking when I look into this, Simon, is that we are where we are now as South Africa. And if you look at the top four parties that are trailing the ANC, and you think about what's their agricultural thinking and what's their land reform thinking, two in my eyes stand out on that. The Umkhonto weSizwe party, as well as the economic freedom fighters, which have an aggressive push for expropriation without compensation, which in my view is something that is not favorable for investment, long-term inclusive growth and job creation. But if you look at the other two parties that are there, the Democratic Alliance, as well as the IFP on the DA, they've been implementing the policies of the South African national government in the Western Cape. So I'm inclined to think that they would continue with the master plan and the other aspects that we already have. In the IFP, if you read in their manifesto, they speak profoundly about the need for partnerships in agriculture, private sector, public sector, even communities. which is in the spirit of the master plan. They also talk about the need for supporting agricultural interventions, which I think a blended finance that is underway between government and the banks is something that mirrors that. But where there's ambiguity in the IFP plan is that on expropriation, they say, look, you can expropriate with some form of compensation. And I think then that I would say the message in the DA and IFP is more in line with what we have. While if you look at the MK and the EFF, I do think that you get a stark contrast of these policies, which then again would say whoever is in the coalition, one would like someone who respects property rights, who drives the master plan and cognizant for the needs for growth and jobs in rural South Africa.
I take your point. And of course, land reform is, I don't want to say it's the heart of agriculture, but it's an important component. As you say, strong property rights, but also, I mean, the government is the largest landowner and it's that release of land, importantly, with title deed to individuals.
I would say some, not necessarily the largest in the country, but a substantial land that is there that could be transferred to people. Already under Minister Didiza, we have seen that in the roughly 2.5 million hectares that was in the government hands, they've already began releasing some of that to title deeds. The hope then is that either Minister Didiza returns to the department or there's a change in the leadership. Whoever comes in, they work with the Director General as well as the deputies that are there to continue with that process of releasing land with title deeds, because we have to strengthen the tenure so that we attract the investment in the sector and we continue to ensure that we maximize its potential for growth and job creation.
Yeah, and that's perhaps where the IFP also comes in, because of course most of the KwaZulu-Natal land is held in a trust managed by the king, and that gets maybe a little more complicated. But we'll leave it there. Wandile Shalobo, Chief Economist, Agricultural Business Chamber of SA. Always appreciate the insights.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.